So we're aggressive. We will use new practices if it makes sense. I'll talk about a company, for example, and I found this quite intriguing. General Mills, for example, they've locked in, I think it's around 1 million acres in the United States under regenerative farming practices. I'm blown away. That's a change. Mm-hmm. Regenerative farming practices. So what does that all mean? And then I look up the practices of my own household, my daughters, their moms. You know, and hate to say this, but they like organic. They don't buy Kraft dinner. They buy Annie's dinner. It's like a Kraft dinner, but it's from General Mills. It's regenerative farming. So they pay about 3-4x time a box, you know, versus Kraft dinner, but it's their values. They feel they're getting the food, the quality, the nutrition they need.
The Future podcast is brought to you by Eberhardt Ag Solutions. Join us as we talk to top entrepreneurs in the agricultural space about their methods of obtaining success in their endeavors. And now, your host, Terry Eberhardt.
All right, so we're here today at the AgSmart conference, sitting here with Bill Zimmer. Bill and I go back quite a ways in the industry, done a lot of different things, and just super excited to chat with you a bit about where you see things are going. So just tell us a little bit about yourself, your history, and what kind of things you're doing in the industry.
Well, thank you very much, Terry. It's great to be here with you and at AgSmart. So, you know, I've had an incredible career. I started, went to the University of Guelph, went back to the tobacco farm, and after growing tobacco for a couple of years, decided probably not a great future there. So I went to work with BASF, where I had an incredible journey there as a rep into management. Worked across Canada around 2000, finished with BASF, and helped start up a company in California called FB Sciences. And from there, worked in California, worked in Tennessee, and came back to Canada. That's where I bumped into you, Terry. So I introduced a new biostimulant called Transit, and you were the first farmer to use it with great results. We're sitting here now, probably about 10 or 11 years after that introduction, and I believe you're still using it. They're growing amazing crops, so it's nice to be part of that. If you want me to carry on about where I see the industry is going, I think it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so we've known each other for a while. We did a lot of work in the early days of Agritrend and the consulting business and the farm with some of the products that you're working with. And recently here, we've kind of reconnected. And I think one of the themes that I see evolving in agriculture and one of the next kind of new frontiers, I think, is this whole area around soil health and biologicals. I think generally speaking, we still understand very little about those things, but now, and whether it's organic or regenerative farming or biostimulants or all this thing, there's a real kind of renaissance or explosion in this area. And we've had conversations about this. This is partly why we're here now. I'd like to share, I think you have, I've always seen you as someone with a huge amount of passion, a lot of experience in the industry. You've done a lot of work with CFIA and those kind of things. And so, yeah, I'd like to share some of your vision of where you think things are going here in the future.
Well, that's interesting. You know, the vision, first I'll say, you don't need a crystal ball today to know that agriculture is really changing. And we're living in change. And this change is rapid. And who's driving it? Is it the farmers? So. Is it the industry? Yeah, there's a lot of industry, a lot of new products, a lot of new technology out there with industry, but the consumer.
Absolutely.
And the consumer is starting to open up the farm gate more than ever with the millennials. And I love millennials because they ask a lot of questions and they think differently. And they're really concerned about their food and the food they eat. And I think farmers have a tremendous opportunities because our farmers in Canada here can meet their needs. It's thinking different. It's a different mindset. You mentioned a few technologies. You know, we've been going down the conventional road now you work in California, I work in California, and the growth of organics is unbelievable. So at the end of the day, where is this going to evolve? And I see organics way out there and conventional at the other side of the spectrum, and it has to come together. So it's one unit. How long is it going to take to evolve? I don't know. It's going to be 10 or 20 years, but there's a few factors that are really going to advance this. One of them is, you know, what you mentioned earlier is the whole biological area. Now, farmers are really concerned about the environment. They're concerned about soil health. They're concerned about plant fitness. They want to leave the soil in good shape for the generations to come. So they're looking at the practices that I'm doing today. Is it right for the future? At the same time, you mentioned a few other things, Terry. We talked organic, we talked regenerative farming, we talked about just different practices. You know, I never really looked at regenerative until a couple of years ago, probably more like 6 months ago, really dug into it. And it's amazing at the wealth of information is out there. We're blessed by big industry, having lots of information, but you've got to dig a bit more. And when you dig and you look at this new sector of ag, it opens your eyes. And it sort of answers the needs of the millennials we talk about. What do the millennials want out there? Well, they want to know what's in their food. They probably want, you know, less pesticides, less fertilizer. They don't mind a bit. I wouldn't say they're totally organic. And I look at the future basically where, you know, this comes together, organic and conventional. So you coexist with your synthetic fertilizers, your pesticides, and also biological. But you look down the road of biological, it's really starting to speed up. And I think one of the main conduits behind it is the Human Health Microbiome Project and the Earth Microbiome Project. So what does this all mean? So in Silicon Valley, what they do with the human microbiome is they can look at all the microbes in our body, okay? And our microbes, for example, they do DNA sequence, really understand the activity. In the soil, for example, with the earth microbiome, they can do DNA sequencing too, but they can put nano chips on microbes now and really study the movements, the vibration, and how they communicate with plants. So what's really interesting is it challenges, the biological challenges a lot of the chemistry side that we know about. So I'm a microbe in the soil, okay? And I'm hungry. I want food because all I do is eat and excrete, you know? So
like a baby.
Like a baby. Same thing. There's a lot of babies there. So I want the carbon that it produces. I want the carbohydrates. It's through photosynthesis, carbohydrates, it excretes carbon into the rhizosphere. So I'm coming up here. I'm a little microbe, and I want to eat that carbon. And the plant's communicating to me, no, I want phosphorus or I want zinc. I'll go and I'll get phosphorus. Oh, I'm in a rocky soil. I will drill into that rock to get phosphorus, and then they exchange back and forth. So it is a real bartering system there. So what does this mean? If I look at soil across Canada, we are bacterial dominated. And fungi, we've lost our fungi population, for example. So if we can increase fungi, I mean coexist, look at buffering factors in the soil, and build that fungi, I'm going to have phosphorus delivery to my plant during the reproductive stage also. So there is just so many different angles. And all this new science is starting to come together. Why is it happening in Silicon Valley? Because they got supercomputers there. When you do DNA sequencing, you get trillions of numbers, and they start crunching it down. So, for example, I got to tell you a little story about the human microbiome. Terry, I'm sitting here, and, you know, I've sort of liked you over the years. I don't know why. And we used to call that a gut feeling, what you could say.
Yeah.
And all you are is a cloud of microbiome. I'm a cloud of microbiome, and according to the Human Microbiome Project, my microbiome are communicating with your microbiome. So it's a whole new field.
I'd like to think I'm a cloud of very good-looking microbiome.
Yeah, you got the good stuff. You got the good stuff. You're still young. You're not gray yet. So as we go down this road, I think it is a real solution to soil health. When you get soil health, you get plant fitness. When you get plant fitness, you keep the consumers happy. You know, where we produce nutrient-dense food, and I believe consumers will pay more for nutrient-dense food versus conventional, not as much as for organic. So there are tons of opportunities as we dive into it. I believe the market needs leadership in this whole biological area because there's going to be clashes. You know, I come from the heavy synthetic fertilizer, the heavy pesticide, and I'm still going to play in that arena. But if we can coexist and bring the biological part there, it's a good win all the way around. Because what are the three pillars exist? You know, we always talk physical, we talk chemical, we talk biological. We've been so chemically dominated. If we can increase this whole biological sector and build that population in the soil, it's going to remediate a lot of problems, whether it's pH, whether it's soil-borne diseases, it's going to help. I don't think it's going to eradicate, but the goal is to grow a good quality crop, high quality, and be the world leaders in Canada. I think we have that opportunity.
I think that's a really interesting mindset because I think most growers, unfortunately, you know, we're living in this era where there is all these pressures from the consumers and the public, and initially I think we all look at that with fear or as a challenge, and you know, most people wouldn't say that they would get excited about the, you know, next generations and the demands that we have on growing food, and maybe we get frustrated by, you know, helping try to educate how we're doing things. But the reality is our biggest challenges are our biggest opportunities. And this is where I really believe in where you're going. I think the huge opportunity for us now is there is, we know even just from using the right balance of nutrients and the right approach with what we're doing now helps us create a healthier plant and that's less prone to disease and more efficient in these kind of things. And I think this whole area of soil health and science, I think we're just starting to scrape the surface. There's so much complexity, so much there. And with the power of computing and analytics and all these things now, I just think it's going to be really exciting. It's also going to be a huge challenge for growers because there's so many products out there. And there is snake oils as well as the stuff that's really good. So how are growers going to understand and filter through what's real and what's not?
We hope that you are enjoying this episode of the Growing the Future podcast. Please take the time to visit our sponsor, Eberhardt Ag Solutions, at eberhardtagsolutions.ca, where you can find innovative solutions that transform your farm. And now, back to the show.
You know, that's really interesting because we are in a bit of a state of confusion at the time. I feel for the growers. To me, it's a blur. They have so many decisions, and what I'm talking about is one sliver of all their decisions. So how do they make the right decision? I'll tell you, number one, any grower that I know will change their practice or go forward with a new practice if it's sound and they make money. Mm-hmm. And what does that back up on? I endorse regulatory. I've sat on more committees with CFIA on regulatory reform, and I believe in proper registration of the products. That way the farmer knows that, hey, I'm using something that has been approved, has been vetted by CFIA, and that's going to help me out. So getting back to this technology and the changes, if you look at the surveys right now and you look at top of mind interest on farmers, it's soil health. You know, and how do I get there? What do I do? It requires a different mindset, you know, and I think farmers are in that area because, again, I talk about the consumer and the consumer needs and everything that he wants. So we know that what we're growing today is going to be different in the future. So there's companies out there that confuse. There's companies out there that don't follow regulatory practices. There's companies that, hey, maybe just want to make a profit. But when you truly partnership with that farmer, and I'm seeing this, as I say, the millennials are starting to go to the farm gate. And I'm saying our Canadian farmers, I break globally. I know farmers around the world. And Canadian farmers are some of the best farmers. There's farmers from Argentina and Australia. You know why we're really good farmers? We got to get it in the ground. We got to get it up. We got to get it growing. You know, we got to go through that reproductive stage make sure it's filled, and we got to get it harvest. We got a short growing season. So we're aggressive. We will use new practices if it makes sense. I'll talk about a company, for example, and I found this quite intriguing. General Mills, for example, they've locked in, I think it's around 1 million acres in the United States under regenerative farming practices. I'm blown away. That's a change. Mm-hmm. Regenerative farming practices. So what does that all mean? And then I look up the practices of my own household, my daughters, their moms. You know, and hate to say this, but they like organic. They don't buy Kraft dinner, they buy Annie's dinner. It's like a Kraft dinner, but it's from General Mills. It's regenerative farming. So they pay about 3-4x time a box, you know, versus Kraft dinner, but it's their values. They feel they're getting the food, the quality, the nutrition they need. So just getting back to that point, I think farmers are searching for a direction. And there's leaders like you that are doing it. Leaders have to step forward and show them a way. But this is on sound technology, products that are registered. And at the end of the day, every time I run into a farmer, if they make money, they're going to change their practices.
Well, I think it's a bit of a mindset, too. You know, there's a lot of, there's so much passion and history and such a strong culture in agriculture. And that's, there's so much of that that makes us who we are and good at what we do. But there's also some of that that also becomes a limiting factor. And I think just thinking about what you're talking, part of it is, we used to, way, way back when, you grew food for your own family.
Yeah.
You grew food to sustain yourself. And I think one thing that maybe we've not realized is we're not growing food to feed our families anymore. We're growing food to feed the world. And our consumers are our clients. They're our customers. Yeah. And I've always thought this. I don't agree with some of the things that's out there, obviously, and it's very frustrating as a grower and a farmer. But the reality is, whether it's right or wrong, it doesn't necessarily really matter, as sad as that is to say, because if they're the ones buying your product, if they're the ones writing the check, We have to work with what our clients and our consumers want, what our buyers want. And so, you know, you can resist against that, but if you resist too long and too far, you just won't be in business anymore. So I think we need to look at these opportunities to bridge that gap, to have those conversations. And I think that every farmer, as you mentioned, we all want to do things sustainably. There's no other business or industry in the world that focuses more on, you know, passing it to the next generation. Yeah. And it was talked about at the conference today, you know, or this week, about, you know, businesses that are over 100 years old and handed down over multiple generations. So, you know, I really see an opportunity for us to learn more. That's this exciting thing about agriculture, and adopt these things to do a better job.
Whether it's different organizations like that. And I was looking at a video just the other day, and it was quite interesting. This guy had 3 points. I'll just talk about one. So an organization like Walmart comes in and buys food directly from them. And one of the first questions they ask him is, how many other roots grow along with the crop that you're growing? Well, what does that mean? It means cover crops. It means intercropping. It means what type of a carbohydrate diversity do you have that you're attracting different microbes. You know, so that is what sustainability is all about. And I say it's interesting to watch these individual companies that are purchasing food and the direction that they're going and their needs. They're directing it with us. So let's zoom in on Western Canada here. So how does that all work, you know, with wheat, canola, different things like that, cover cropping, you know, for diversity? We're monoculture, we're heavy on the pesticide, you know, the fertilizer side, which I have no problem with, but how does cover crop and intercropping work? A little tough.
It's a challenge in the short seasons that we have, for sure.
Yeah, you know, and I believe, you know, cover cropping, we can cover crop, you know, after the fall, put fall rye in or something like that. But the whole thing is to get more carbon into the soil. You know, that's what you want, is more carbon, sink more carbon, you know, build more organic matter. different things like that. So there's ways and means that I believe there's easier solutions out there for farmers, you know, that are going to start unfolding, you know, with cover crops, with some other products to build this diversity. Because everything that we're talking about, and these food companies, yeah, it's nutrient-dense food and all that, but it's sustainability. And sustainability has got so many different meanings right now. But to me, it's soil that is alive, soil that is living, soil that has good gas exchange, good infiltration rate, good oxygen in it. And then a soil that is a sponge. Well, what does that mean? I want higher organic matter because our organic matter, you know, holds whatever, 7 times the amount of its water. So I heard a scientist talk one time, and the farmer goes, well, it's dry and I've got dry conditions. And she goes, no, you don't have dry conditions. You don't have enough organic matter. So there's new challenges coming all our way, but where is that road paving? Where is the direction? It's sustainability. It's a few different practices. And I don't believe that we're going to, you know, have to get rid of our synthetic fertilizer. It's needed. Our pesticides are needed. I got a weed. I got a disease. I sprayed my whole world, my whole time. But I mean, what do we do, you know, to balance this all out? So I'd say the future is pretty promising.
One of the things that I love about agriculture and the community is the people and the passion. And as we talked before about our biomes aligning or whatever it may be, I mean, you're definitely been one of those guys that every time we get the opportunity to chat and network and share ideas, you have so much passion. And it's really inspiring to me to see someone that's been in the industry for a long time. And there's a lot of people like that, but they're just so passionate about where we're going. Such a huge wealth of knowledge and network and experience, and it's exciting to have the opportunity to continue to learn and grow. That's a fascinating thing about agriculture. It's always evolving, and it's just a pleasure and an honor to be able to work with some of the people that we get to every day.
Thank you, Terry. You know, it's working with, I've been really fortunate. You know, I've had a lot of opportunities, but this last one, we're helping out ATP, working with Happy Science, I'm back in the field. Talking to farmers. And just like you, when I introduced Transit and worked with ATP, you know, and Transit, the number of farmers that I work with and I learn from them, they teach me. And when we start doing different practices and their texture, their soil feels different, their yields go way up, it makes you dig what is going on in that soil. Yeah. That's why it's sort of taken me down this path, but thank you.
Cool. It's been awesome. Thanks a lot for sharing your passion and your knowledge and looking forward to what's coming.
Anytime.
It's going to be exciting times.
The future is unbelievable what's ahead of us.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks a lot, Bill.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Growing the Future podcast. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook for highlights of the show. Also, full-length videos of the show are available on our website, www.growingthefuturepodcast.ca, and on YouTube. We would very much appreciate if you took the time to visit our sponsor, Eberhardt Ag Solutions, at eberhardtagsolutions.ca, where you can find innovative solutions that transform your farm.